Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Interpretation, please. One, two, three, four.
Hello and welcome to episode 12. Today we're going to return to the topic of home education. In episode 7 we talked about some of the misconceptions around home education and what this term really means, but today we're going to discuss a topic I speak about time and time again, socialization. People always have a lot of questions about concepts that they're unfamiliar with, and that's fine, that's how we learn, by being curious, and it's one of the fundamental reasons of why home education can actually be so successful. So, let's discuss this today, and as always in part 2, we'll break down the language I've used, beautifully incorporating inspirational conversation and natural English learning. That's just what I do. The first question on everyone's lips when I mention we're home educating the kids is, what about socializing? Or how will they make friends? And it's usually said in this undertone of worry, really, like, are you sure you're doing the right thing? If you're a home educating parent, then you've probably just rolled your eyes to the sky because you've heard this 1,000 times before. But it is a fair question because it's not something that everyone has to consider. School is a place to meet friends and socialise, isn't it? No. School is a place to socialise, but I wouldn't say it's the place to socialise. It's not the only one. We've just become accustomed to it and rely so much on schools to take responsibility for both learning and socialisation. Let's just consider the social encounters experienced by children on both sides. Home educated kids are not cooped up in classrooms. They rarely find themselves with a group of pre-chosen and age-divided children. And their idea of free time does not mean being released at governed intervals into a frenzy of high-intensity playground activity, which of course is cut short by that dreaded school bell, signalling, free time is over, get back in your classrooms. Why? Do I always do a strange American accent for tannoy announcements? Very strange. None of the words I used were exaggerated or negative as such. We all know that this description is quite close to the truth, I just dramatised it a little bit. The difference is not everyone has considered that there may be alternative options. As I mentioned in a previous episode, there is way too much emphasis on the word home in home education, because most home educated kids do not spend their time learning at home. They spend their time at libraries, sports clubs, skate parks, beaches, playgrounds, museums, galleries, in the nature, at the drama schools, dance classes, karate clubs, and the list goes on. Richard Medlin, a professor of psychology at Stetson University, wrote a research paper proving that home educated kids are often more connected to the community around them and actually participate in more social and extracurricular activities than school children do. Along the way, of course, they interact with people, not just children. They socialise with all ages, from babies to grandparents, people from all walks of life, with choice and without limitation. You know, there's an outdated stereotype with home-educated children. People think that they are socially weird. And I don't think they do it on purpose, but you do get a sense of this whenever the question is asked. Weird, of course, is the wrong word, but different? Sure, I can agree with that, because they're experiencing a different version of life to what most kids are used to and what most parents have been used to. But the social life of a home-educated kid is less limited and less restricted, in my opinion. I want to just tie this up by quoting a paragraph, actually, from one of my favourite writers. His name is Izzy Butson, aka Stark Raving Dad. He's got a really great blog, and I'll put it in the notes afterwards. He wrote this: regardless of what the underlying social point is, the idea of promoting 30 years of age-segmented classroom time that's routinely punctured by manic releases of energy in small play areas as being the best form of social development for a child is absurd. And the idea that being different is a bad thing, well, that's just dangerous. I have to agree with Izzy here. It's a good point, well made. I'll leave you with this final thought. The next time you meet a home educating parent and you want to ask some questions, try leading with a different one. You already knew the answer to this one, and it's far too easy for them. In just a moment, we'll head over to part two and we'll analyse some of the language that are used. We'll look at different contexts, some new expressions and idioms, some vocabulary. And it's a way for you to take what you've heard and use it immediately in your everyday life as well. If you like the podcast, don't just sit there. Share it with everyone. Share it with your friends, with your family, people that you know that will find this interesting and useful. There are lots of English learners out there and I'm trying to reach as many of them as possible. This feels like the right time to talk about some product, you know, some like affiliate marketing or something, but I haven't really got around to that yet. I'm just happy providing content, so I'll just make one up. Let's go for cornflakes. Cornflakes are nice. They're orange, weird colour, orange, crispy. If you're in a rush in the morning, just whack some milk on there, a few raisins, maybe some berries, and yeah, that's it really. Cornflakes, unhealthy cereal for those of you in a rush. Let's go to part two. And it's usually said in this undertone of worry. Undertone. If you speak and there's an undertone in your voice, you are suggesting some kind of feeling or maybe even an opinion using the sound of your voice. So there is an undertone. Let me give you an example. If I use the sentence, is he okay? I can ask you directly, is he okay? I'm just curious. Or I can ask you with this undertone of worry, for example, is he okay? We've just become accustomed to it. Accustomed, what does it mean? It's not two words, by the way. It's not accustomed. It's accustomed with a D at the end. It means that something has become regular. It's become routine or habit for you. So something that you do again and again, eventually you become accustomed to it. It doesn't have the same challenges. You don't even think about it. It's just normal for you. So I could say, as an example, I have become accustomed to working from home and living in Finland. These are things that take place every single day. And yeah, I don't even think about it anymore. It's my normal life. Let's just consider the social encounters experienced by children on both sides. Encounter. You can use encounter as a noun, an encounter, or you can use it as a verb, to encounter. An encounter is an unexpected meeting between people or things, or sometimes an informal meeting. Often you'll see it in the news used to relate to violent clashes between two groups of people. So, for example, the protesters marched through the streets and there was an encounter with the police. It means they met unexpectedly and maybe something happened in that encounter. If I use the same sentence but I change it for a verb, then I would say the police encountered the protesters at the end of the street. So the same idea, to meet someone unexpectedly. Home-educated kids are not cooped up in classrooms. Okay, here's a really nice phrasal verb, cooped up. What I'm going to do is explain the origin of this phrasal verb, and then it will make perfect sense to you. Just imagine for a second that you are a chicken. If you're a chicken, you might have this beautiful field to run free in, or you might live in a chicken coop. A chicken coop is like a cage or a hen house, usually where chickens are stuck in this small space for a long period of time. And yeah, their movements are restricted. It's not very nice, actually. I imagine it's not very nice. I've never spoken to any chickens about it. I've never heard any complaints, but pretty sure it's horrible. Now imagine that you're a human, because you are a human, so it should be easy. Cooped up means to be stuck in a small space for a long period of time. So we use it to relate to our lack of freedom in that activity. So children can be cooped up in a classroom. Someone can be cooped up in their work office. It means that you're stuck there, you're not going anywhere, and you just want to get out of there, to be honest. And their idea of free time does not mean being released at governed intervals. Governed. I think we all know the word government, so we understand that this is to do with control over something and authority over something. So governed is a transitive verb, which means we use to be governed by as a preposition, to be governed by something usually. In my example, I used governed intervals. It sounds more like an adjective, but what I'm explaining here is that the intervals or the breaks are governed by someone. If I take this to the simplest example, I would say the country is now being governed by the Labour Party. Which, of course, is cut short by that dreaded school bell. Dreaded. Dreaded is an adjective, and it's something you regard with great fear or apprehension. Let me give you a couple of examples how to use dreaded, because sometimes we exaggerate this term. Here's a sad example, but one that really highlights the true meaning of the word. Everyone is fearful or apprehensive about someone they love dying. So if that day happens, you might say to someone, "The dreaded day has arrived. My grandfather has died," for example. But there is a way that we use this with a little bit more exaggeration, where it's not actually a strong feeling of fear or apprehension. Let's take a football example, because I'm good at them. So if you lose to a football team, let's say you are Manchester United and you lose to your rivals, Liverpool. But the thing is, Liverpool didn't even have their best player on that day and they still beat you. So I might say to my friend, "Oh, I can't believe we lost to Liverpool. I dread to think what would happen if they had their best player playing for them." So I've actually pushed this word into a conditional tense, something that isn't real. But we often use this, "I dread to think what might happen. I dread to think what might happen if this happens." None of the words I used were exaggerated or negative as such. As such. As such is a very nice expression to link two sentences together, but be careful with it because if you put it at the beginning of a sentence, it has a very different meaning to using as such at the end of a sentence. First, I'll give you an example of using at the beginning, and this would be useful for any of you writers out there who are making points and then explaining your points and you want to link these two sentences together. Here's an example. Tim had an accident and broke his leg. As such, Tim is not able to work this week. So I gave you some information about Tim, and then I wanted to relate the second part to that piece of information. So I used as such, which basically means therefore or because of this, Tim is not able to work. So how about if I use as such at the end of a sentence, like I have in my episode today? Now the expression takes on a different meaning, and it actually means in the exact sense of the word. Let me give you an example and it will become more clear. Here's a conversation between two friends. "Hey, do you want to come over and stay at our house this weekend?" "Oh yeah, I'd love to. Do you have a guest house?" "Well, it's not a guest house as such." So what I'm saying to my friend is, well, it's not exactly a guest house, but it's something like a guest house and it functions in the same way. Back to my example, none of the words I used were negative as such. They were kind of negative sounding, but not in the exact sense of the word negative. They socialise with all ages, from babies to grandparents, people from all walks of life. People from all walks of life. This would be a group of people that have different jobs and are from different levels of society, all coming together in one place. Here's an example for you, which should make it quite clear. In my city, we have two music festivals. One festival is a heavy metal festival, which obviously seems to attract the same types of people. Also, there is an international music festival, which actually attracts people from all walks of life. So the international festival is actually more open in that it's providing music for people of different music tastes, different nationalities, different cultures, different social backgrounds. It's for everyone. It's for people of all walks of life. So there you have it, another episode in the bag. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you learnt some really good native vocabulary and some expressions. Just remember that it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to remember it, but the most important part of this is to apply it when you can. So if you get the opportunity to speak English, or you're working in English, or however it might be, try and force these new expressions that you hear into your conversation. It will help and it will get easier. If you don't have anyone to speak to, and I don't mean friends, I'm sure you've got a friend or two, but I mean if you're not getting as much English practice as you would like, feel free to jump over to my website at speaktolead.com. I work with English learners every single day. I have about 20 students at the moment. We create very customized one-to-one private English conversations which are about your life and relevant to everything you're doing. So if you need me for work purposes, if you just want to speak on a regular basis, if you want to work on meetings, presentations, interview preparations in English, I'm here. If you don't want to use me, that's fine as well, but make sure you go out there and find someone where you can get some regular practice, whether it's me or another tutor. It's a very important and useful thing to do if you're focused on learning. That's all from me today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did, and I hope it was useful for you. If it was, make sure you share it, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your 90-year-old grandma, tell your hamster. This podcast is for everyone. Please leave a review and a rating and continue with your support. It's very, very valuable and I appreciate it very, very much. See you next time, and we'll get a guest on here from somewhere in the north of England. See you soon. Bye.